Hi, my name is Ricky Adamson, and welcome to Vista Higher Learning's podcast series, The Language Imperative. Vista's commitment for the past 25 years has been providing language solutions. We're proud to sponsor and share the work of those organizations, institutions, and individuals that serve and strengthen language education for all. As the preeminent language and literacy publisher in the United States, Vista's singular focus is empowering you as a language educator with the tools and research-based knowledge that you need to meet the needs of all learners. Whether you're guiding students in learning a new language, improving an additional language, or perfecting their native language, Vista is for you. Thank you for letting us share this podcast with you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we have a guest, Noemi Rodriguez. And Noemi is here to talk about something that I know is on every teacher's mind, AI. So Noemi, to get us started, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I have been working and sharing with teachers over the past year or so with regards to generative AI specifically, and just how we can harness its incredible capabilities and use it really for good in our language classrooms.
And, you know, I'm excited to talk about this because I think about my time in the classroom when I was still teaching, which I'm dating myself on something that when I started teaching, we still just had VHS tapes and all of that stuff. So technology has come a long way. So in regards to AI, one of the things that I hear from teachers is that they fear that generative AI eventually will replace them. Is this a valid concern they have?
I think that it's completely valid to have these emotions, to have these fears, because there's a lot of unknown right now. But I also look at teaching as such a unique profession where connecting with the kids in person is really what has that lasting impact on our students. They don't remember necessarily all of the content, but they always remember how you made them feel and what the classroom experience was like. And there's no technology out there that can replace that relationship between teacher and student and really being the advocate and that supporter for that student, whatever it is that they may need. That is something that I don't fear that teaching and language teaching would be rendered obsolete because of this technology due to that really important connectivity piece that we have with the kids.
That's good to hear. And I feel as if ever since the pandemic, students need that relationship with that teacher now more than ever.
Right. They were so happy to come back.
Yes, which that says something right there.
Right.
That the kids were
right.
Happy to come back to school. So, you know, on that, talking about their concerns and everything and knowing that the relationship is what matters and that it's not going to replace them, how might generative AI negatively impact students' critical thinking skills? Because I know as a former teacher, that was always at the forefront of almost every professional development we had, students' critical thinking skills.
I think it's really important at this time to revisit what it is that we're using as our assessments and what are our metrics and what is it that we value as language teachers in terms of proficiency and in terms of student growth. So I think with those core values and really looking at what we want students to be able to do, ideally in real time, right? Like those spontaneous conversations, they are the ones where our students will have an opportunity to go somewhere or connect with someone. And then when they're in that language immersion scenario and they're using as much as they can, that's when we hopefully see all of the hard work that we've put into helping them grow in their language abilities. So I think at this point, knowing that generative AI is really just going to regurgitate information or not really serve as an in-the-moment tool, right, that our students can access, but thinking about the skills that we want our students to better develop, generative AI can help us, right, with practice and help our students feel confident. But it's not necessarily going to be there ready to go when our students are in a spontaneous speaking or writing scenario. So I would advocate for teachers to look at their assessments, think about the purpose of the assessment, because ultimately, right, we want to make sure that it's meaningful and valuable for our students to engage in whatever the task is. And to revisit maybe some of those multiple choice essay format, you know, things that maybe we were doing before that maybe we didn't necessarily look at with such a critical lens. So if you really think about the meaning behind the assessment, then hopefully you will start developing assessments that generative AI can't really assist with in terms of in that moment, but maybe as a practice tool and maybe as ongoing feedback, right? It can serve as an additional kind of teacher helper in the room with your students in mind.
Yeah, so it sounds as if talking about backwards planning, backwards design, and you know, planning your assessment first and wanting to know what the students need to know, what they need to be able to do with the language. And then once that's in place, as they plan, they can see where generative AI might fit into that. And that's exciting. You know, I every time I have these conversations and things like that, I think about, wow, it would be nice to be in the classroom right now with all of this. It's an exciting time to be in the classroom, to see, you know, what we can add in this generative AI, what it can do for us, the practice, so that it's not just, as I'm sure you know, the teacher always being the one that's the practice for the students. I mean, there's only so many times you can ask a kid, what do you like to do, you know, in a day? So I like the idea of finding where this generative AI can fit into our units, our lessons. The other thing I also hear teachers mention, you know, it's talk about academic integrity. So for teachers, how can they ensure academic integrity in a classroom that uses generative AI?
I think it's very important to set up guidelines at the start of the school year, especially, and talk to your kids about different uses of when we can use generative AI or perhaps when we can't use generative AI. I've seen different scales where it's all in red and it says zero AI versus green light go, all AI, give it a go, see how it helps you. So depending on your level of comfort and your level of readiness with having these conversations with your kids, and then also thinking about your school as a community and what sorts of AI literacy are being infused into the curriculum or into just overall professional development for the staff, and then having hopefully some critical conversations with students, with parents, but really understanding where everybody's at, and then planning and figuring out what guidelines you feel comfortable with your students is really important. And I think at the beginning of the year is a perfect time to start the conversations because we're all kind of in this newness together. And I know last year, a lot of folks were like, do I try it? Do I not try it? There was a lot of back and forth. And now it feels as if it's definitely not going anywhere. So how can we have these conversations with our kids? What questions maybe do we want to ask our students to engage with them and to understand what do they know about generative AI and what can potentially we work on together to help us so it doesn't feel like a taboo in the classroom and it doesn't feel like the elephant in the room, but it's addressed right from the get-go and we're hopefully dialoguing with our kids in a positive way about how to use this for good.
I like that. You said, you know, talking about the student and the teachers working together to invite it into the classroom. I think that goes a long way. And it also does invite, to me, those questions that may come up on both sides. Just the other day on social media, there was a post about AI and teachers were responding. And some of the teachers had used some forms of AI in their classroom. And one of the things they said that they do as far as academic integrity is concerned is that whatever the student turns in, the student then orally has to expound on that with them, so that they know that it's not just AI doing the work. So there are solutions out there in terms of ensuring the academic integrity
I think it's one of those things which teachers are always great at is monitor and adjust.
Always. Always. And I think once you get to know your students and once you get to know their abilities, right, it makes a lot more sense to track their progress, to set up portfolios in your classroom, to do, you know, on-the-spot writing or on-the-spot speaking, and then have it so it's stored somewhere, so then that way your students can revisit it and hopefully be proud of their progress and development as the school year progresses. But those types of assessments, they're not going to be able to use generative AI the night before and then turn it in and say, oh, I'm good, right? There you go. Because there's going to be a lot of wondering behind, well, how did we create this or how did we write this? So having the students partner up, like you were saying before, have them discuss and share what it is that they created. And if they did have generative AI help them as a brainstorming buddy or providing them with some writing feedback, hopefully they'll be open to having those conversations and then citing their sources, which is always important.
And you just mentioned that, and that was an aha moment for me about maybe if students feel comfortable saying in class, you know what, I did use AI to brainstorm, but then I took that information and I researched, or I did, you know, having that comfort level to say that so that they're also confident in talking about the topic that they're doing. And then also, you know, research shows that it is still valuable for students to have to handwrite some things. So that's a perfect opportunity to kind of marry the two together, so to speak, I think.
Always been a big fan of handwriting. And I know that some schools are considering that obsolete in the future, but I do believe that there's a lot of power in the brain-hand connection and writing things out or highlighting and or writing, you know, some notes in the margins. I think that that just helps us process and reflect just a little bit better and really hopefully digest the information and understand it more.
I agree. And part of that is because that's how I am. I'm still the type that I want the hardback book in front of me and be taking the notes in the margins or on, you know, pieces of paper. It just helps me more so than just looking at it on a screen.
Exactly. It helps me to process as well. And that's just, as you were sharing, that's what I'm used to doing. Now, I know that our students are very digitally savvy and they're able to consume a lot of information, right? But how are they processing it or how are they reflecting upon it? That's where I wonder where that, again, brain-to-hand connection is so critical and still so important for our students to be able to do. And sometimes it's good to just step away from the screen and let's face-to-face, right? And tell me and talk and developing those interpersonal skills as well as social-emotional learning amongst our class community is so important.
Yeah, which is something else that teachers have mentioned to me is that since the pandemic, they really have to work with students on interpersonal skills, that sometimes they found that it's hard for students to pair up and just talk to each other because they were so used to not doing that during the pandemic. So I think this is a, you know, a perfect time in our the world of education to have that conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I very often I wouldn't give the kids a choice and we would have our clock buddies, although it sounds very elementary. We did it at the high school and we would have different partners depending on what appointments we had and then mixing them up as much as possible and having them converse in real time and talk to each other face to face. And then if I needed to provide a support, like a chat mat or something for the kids to reference while they're having that interpersonal dialogue, why not? And just getting them used to really just, let's talk. Let's have these conversations with one another.
And I don't think the clock buddy sounds elementary at all, because what I found as a teacher, high school and middle school, is that what might technically be termed something for elementary worked perfectly well with high school students.
I got to be honest, stickers too. Stickers were still a hit. With my sophomores, they were like, yes, please.
Oh, yes. It's just the little things, you know, that really kind of get them excited sometimes.
And those are the kind of things that generative AI cannot replace, right? That's, we're not going to be able to hand out stickers. It doesn't have that capability.
Right. So which goes back to what we said originally is that relationship with the students and building that relationship, because the students aren't going to have a relationship with AI, or the AI is not going to have that kind of a relationship with them, definitely. But, you know, still on this subject with AI, what ethical considerations should teachers keep in mind if they want to use generative AI?
This is where it's so important that everyone understands that we are training the models as we use them. So the information that we're putting in, right, they're learning us, which is a little scary sometimes to think about that. But whoever is using these large language models is also training these large language models. And it's important for us as teachers to not perpetuate stereotypes and some of the bias that generative AI is popping up with, and to still look at what it creates with a critical lens. Okay, is this the best to present to my students? Is this diverse? Is this inclusive? Am I promoting equity here with whatever content, right, it's creating? So we still have to train the model, use it responsibly, and consider as well how our students would then be training the model and how are they using it responsibly. So there's a lot of layers to that. And again, it goes back to hopefully having those critical conversations as a school community and really engaging in thoughtful dialogue about what we want, right, the content to be, and how we need to ensure that it's not going to perpetuate anything that would be negative or not highlight people or groups or marginalize any particular community.
Really, it's the same questions teachers ask themselves all the time. You know, it's just now taking it to the next level with AI, because, you know, world language teachers especially have always been sensitive to making sure it's diverse, it's equitable, that there's representation. Now we just need to think of those things in terms of AI as well. How would you say teachers could effectively integrate AI into their classrooms if they're listening to us today? And it's piqued their interest and they're saying, you know what, I really want to try this. What would you say to them?
I think the important place is to just start and to just experiment and try one of the large language models first, depending on what your preference is. OpenAI's ChatGPT is certainly very popular. I feel that it keeps coming up as teachers' number one LLM to go to. I've also dabbled with Gemini and found that the export features into Google Drive work really well. If you're more of a Microsoft person, maybe you want to check out Copilot and start there. But all of the large language models are really helpful as brainstorming buddies, or can even serve almost as if a personal assistant in helping you create and flesh out prompts and things to make sure that what it is that you are looking for, it is in fact creating. Which I think too, sometimes folks think that it's a search engine, which it's not. It's generating. That's why it's ChatGPT. It's generating that unique content for you based on what it is that you ask it to do. So that's where the back and forth with the large language model is really important. So you can ask it to be more creative, more funny, more engaging. You can include your students' interest in whatever it is that it's designing. You can keep in mind, if you're using acquisition-driven instruction, how to ensure that your students are getting repetitions of certain words or certain key structures in a reading passage, for example. So with content creation, really, the possibilities are endless for teachers. I've also used tools, for example, to make music. So if I have a topic that, like, oh, this is kind of boring, you know, how do I liven this up for my students? So going to one of these music-making AI tools and having it create a song, let's say, in Spanish about what happened in 1492, let's say, just arbitrarily putting that out there. But something as simple as that can be really fun and engaging for the kids to listen to, and then they get hooked with the song, and then here you have a new song to add to your library of things to check out or things to use with your students. With the student, if they're looking to use AI, or if you're allowed to use, right, artificial intelligence with the students, depending on the tool, you have to obviously evaluate it, make sure that it complies with the FERPA laws and it's not taking our students' data or information and then putting it right out there, which the ed tech companies definitely need to do a better job with being more transparent about who can use their tool, right? And what's safe for our kids to be using. The conversational chatbot aspect of tools that are out there, like School AI or Mizzou, for example, are awesome. So the fact that myself as a teacher, I can create the background and that conversational piece for my students and really build the bot in a way that's going to be safe and hopefully fun for my students to have a back and forth real-time conversation with whomever. And when I say whomever, the cool thing is you can bring people back from the dead. So if your students wanted to talk to Frida Kahlo, they can do that based on the prompt that you set up for them. And they can talk about her artwork and her life. And they can essentially have a Q&A with someone that they wouldn't have been able to Q&A with a few years ago. So that's where I think with the students and with the teachers as well as like a practice tool, that's a really nice way to set up your students with a unique learning experience that they're practicing their spontaneous speaking. And hopefully it feels very low stakes for your students. They're not necessarily going to earn a grade for having that conversation. You can see, which is really nice, you can see the conversation between the students. So if something pops up that's a red flag for you as the teacher, you can talk to that student one-on-one and really understand, like, why were we making these choices, right? When we were conversing with Frida, I'm not sure what happened here. So the student accountability is still there. But that's where I think it's really extraordinary that these tools now exist for our kids to real-time language practice with, and they don't have to necessarily speak with a native speaker or connect, even though that's amazing to be able to do exchanges with other countries or connect with other schools. Like, I love that. I think that that's still super important and awesome for our kids to really understand the target culture and immerse themselves in the target culture. But to have, let's say, a station or a practice experience in the classroom where you, as you were saying before, you're only one person, and now you have these bots that can serve as, like, you know, 25 mini teachers ready to interact with your kids. So that's where I think it's really, really exciting for language teachers in the future.
And it really is a paradigm shift. You mentioned a couple of things that really awakened my interest even more, and the music aspect, because students love music, but I had never considered the fact that as a teacher, I could use it to help me bring music on whatever topic, as opposed to me making up some kind of a song and the students telling me, please don't sing, you know, you know, because I did get that occasionally. And also bringing people back from the dead that they're learning about, having those conversations. I think of teachers that teach, let's say, AP Spanish literature, being able to bring those authors back and students have conversations with them, how deep the learning can go with that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And again, like, here you have this expert technology that can serve in this role based on how you set it up as the teacher. So you're providing the parameters, you're setting up the behind the scenes. So then that way, when your student sits down to experience that conversation, it feels real and it feels hopefully at a linguistic level that's appropriate for them based on what it is that you set up.
And since the teacher can see, as you mentioned, or hear the conversation or the practice, whatever is going on, I think for the teachers, or for me, that would kind of bring down my anxiety level in terms of, in the past when I would do interpersonal speaking, I would plan it maybe for 15 minutes, but, you know, I'm trying to get around and listen to all of them, and it would take the whole period. And my anxiety is going up because I'm thinking I'm not hearing enough. I don't have time to listen to enough. But if I have AI, I have the time, you know. That's just very, it's actually very mind-blowing for me to think about. It's just all so exciting. It's an exciting time to be a language teacher, to be a teacher. Let's just say teachers, not just language teachers. And as we move on and the AI does become something that possibly a school district or administrator says, and teachers understand this, you are required to put this into your classroom X amount of time, X percentage of time. What kind of advice would you give teachers to prepare them for the integration of generative AI into the classroom?
I think with anything technology related, it's a tool. So it's up to you as the teacher how comfortable you are implementing that tool. I hope that we're not in a position where people are forcing, right, any sort of technology your way. I also am going to date myself. I taught with the overhead projector, right? Like that so many years ago was was revolutionary that, oh, look what's on Rodriguez's little transparency. Oh, you can see it and then I can label it and we can talk about it and create stories. So I was comfortable though, right, at the time using the overhead transparency. Like that was okay. Some teachers were not. So it depends on your level of comfort, your hopefully if you're not too hesitant, you can at least experiment and at least try and see how some of these tools work. And then maybe if you have a few colleagues, right, and a few people that you trust that you work with, and you can all kind of come together and say, okay, what is it that we're looking to learn? Or what do we feel is challenging right now about generative AI? And how can we collaborate and help one another to better understand this? So that sort of community approach where you don't feel like you're the only teacher who's going down and like navigating these really new waters lonely, you can hopefully form almost like your PLC of like-minded educators to steer in the right direction and start to kind of unpeel this very big onion of so many different layers and possibilities. And then I'm excited to see, as teachers begin to experiment and use it more, what other cases and uses will spring up as a result of this technology. So I feel like right now we're just scratching the surface with what it can create and what it can help us with and help our students with. So with time, because it is rapidly evolving, I'm curious to see how, like what's like the 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 versions of using generative AI in the language classroom. Time will tell, right?
And speaking of, you know, I have to laugh about the overhead projector only because I had one in my classroom the majority of years. I used it and I still have my transparency sitting on the shelf behind me that came with the textbook. So I used the overhead a lot. And at one time, that was technology for the classroom. And then we moved into interactive whiteboards. And, you know, so we've slowly been moving this direction. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if teachers look at the different technologies they've had in the classroom and how they have adjusted to them, how they have learned how to integrate them into their classroom, that generative AI is something else not to be feared, because just as they learned to use that interactive whiteboard or way, way back, an overhead projector, you know, come up with games to use with it and so forth, they will, with time, also learn how to harness this, which is exciting. I would think that was exciting if I were still in a classroom, you know.
Again, I'm looking forward to seeing how folks begin to play and interact and integrate certain aspects and certain tools with their students too.
Yeah, I am too. And I think we're going to see that sooner rather than later. We really will. I see that happening in at workshops, at conferences, things of that nature. And then it just becomes something that teachers get excited about and students get excited about. So that's always exciting for me, even working with teachers, when I see them excited about something and having those aha moments. As we kind of start wrapping up, what's the one thing you would want teachers to really get from this about AI?
I think that when it comes to addressing teacher burnout and how hard the profession is, I think we can use generative AI to help kind of bring back some time to our day, bring back moments where we're not necessarily feeling stuck or not really sure what to do. We can use these technologies to help us, right? Professionally, if we're wondering like what a next step would be or how to, you know, creatively problem solve something, this is an opportunity where you shouldn't feel alone. You should be able to go to your LLM of choice and ask a question. And after you train it properly based on what you want it to learn about you and help you with, then hopefully it can alleviate maybe some of those moments of anxiousness or just feeling like this is so overwhelming. I like to go there first, quite honestly. Like if I'm stuck, I'm like, let me ask ChatGPT. Let's see what ChatGPT can come up with. So as long as I'm providing a good prompt and I'm articulate with and specific with what it is that I'm asking, usually ChatGPT does a really great job in helping me or at least giving me a good starting point. So I would urge teachers to at least try and see how they feel. And if it helps, right, and it gives them time back in their day, or it gives them some little piece of like, okay, I got this, like I can do this, I can start with this, then that to me, again, with just helping us kind of build in these systems where we're not getting burnt out or we're not getting super overwhelmed quickly, and maybe this can help us to avoid feeling that way.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of teachers just perked up when you said it could give time back to them, because that is something that is so valuable for teachers. And not just time back in the school day, but for teachers that are working on their lesson plans at home, it's going to give them time back at home.
Right. Well, that's where, honestly, like, I always felt that when I'm teaching, it's like you're on, right? And you're so focused on the kids and you're so focused on making sure that like everyone feels supported and they're having a good experience in your class and learning. And then it's all the other stuff, all the stuff outside of that class period. That's what the emails, the following up with this, making sure this is done, creating this, like all of that other stuff is where I think sometimes it just becomes very overwhelming. So if we can, as you were sharing, if we can get some of that time back and we can feel like, you know what, I got to do that, but at least I have this thought partner to help me start or at least give me like a good idea, and then I can take it, tweak it, and then make it so it is what I want it to be.
The opportunities are endless, honestly, you know, to think about it. Now, for teachers that are listening and they maybe want to hear more from you or they want to ask you questions or anything, you have your own consulting business, Logramos, if I pronounced it correctly. Tell us a little bit about it so teachers know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I started Logramos or Team Logramos a little over a year ago. And it was really in an effort to keep supporting teachers and to feel like you're part of this greater community that has your back. So no matter what it is, no matter what it is that you're trying to learn, hopefully we can do it together and we can help each other out and support one another. So that's really the mission behind Logramos. And then it worked out where I've been on maternity leave from my district position. So I've had more flexibility to be able to work with schools and to work with departments to do workshops and virtual kind of like meet and greets and consultations, and then being able to go to different conferences. So I am completely on board with adding more members to my team. And I am launching, or I have already launched actually, an AI innovator community with next school year in mind. And the hope is really to support teachers throughout the school year. So it's not like a one and done PD or like a 6-hour workshop that you walk away and you're like, oh my gosh, my head is just, that was too much information. So thinking about really bite-sized pieces of information to help you strategically integrate generative AI into your planning, into your content creation, into lessons with students. So that community is a result of many reflections on my part on how to best support teachers in their AI literacy journey. So that's in the works for the 24-25 school year.
Well, that's awesome. And I would encourage the teachers listening to reach out to you. I love that idea of the bite-sized, you know, because that's what teachers need. And I would also encourage, you know, we've kind of focused on world languages here, but if it's English language teachers, learners, or other teachers, I encourage them to take all of this to heart too and to reach out to you as well.
I was going to say, so English is a second language, right? Or thinking about anyone who's teaching language, regardless, this is applicable. So everything that I frame, it's always for language teachers because we're all teachers of language. There's so many cool like parallels and overlap between ACFL and WIDA standards. Like we're all doing very similar things. The nice part is, right, if you are teaching multilingual learners, that they're immersed in the English language on a day-to-day basis versus our world language students, right? We have that carved out, you know, 50 minutes, 60 minutes of time that we can really focus on immersion and getting the students to understand the language in a comprehensible way. But yeah, we're all language teachers.
I agree. All of us. Every teacher is a language teacher. You know, well, you have certainly calmed some fears I had about AI, and you have me excited about it, about the possibilities, about the creativity of using it in the classroom. So, Noemi, I thank you for taking time to visit with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here, honored to share, and thanks to you for asking such great questions, too.
Well, it's my pleasure. I enjoy getting to visit with teachers and hear what they have to say that's applicable to everyone. So I look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you so much, Ricky.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. As an educator, you have the power to reimagine and reshape education. Vista Higher Learning is committed to giving you the best programs, resources, information, and support to ensure that your students succeed in school and in life. We are committed to being your partner in education, and thank you for letting us be there for you and your students. For more information about Vista solutions for your K-12 classroom, visit vistahigherlearning.com.